privilege this afternoon to invite to the pulpit Pastor Manuel Vergara. This is about his fourth time or so, maybe fifth, to come and visit us from the Philippines. Brother Bill and Sister Roxanne have been attending our church now for several years, and it was through their influence that we became acquainted with Brother Vergara, and he is a pastor in the Philippines. His background and my background are very similar. Goes back to the Hoagies, who are missionaries in the Philippines out of the Baptist Bible Fellowship many years ago. And the elder Mr. Hoagie was somewhat of a believer in the doctrines of grace. I went to school with his son in the early 1960s, and that's almost in the middle. That's a half a century ago. But it's an interesting thing how God has brought us together. Bill and Roxanne began to send tapes. The tapes had an influence. And then Brother and Sister Vergara came visiting here several times. We've become good friends. And I've always promised to have him preach for us. And he's going to be leaving this next week, returning home. So this is his opportunity. The men and I have met over in the corner, and the talk is that we will help him and support him in that work and in the Bible college that he has established. As a believer in the doctrines of grace, he has to compete, as we do in this country, with all of the various cults, isms, and other things that are abroad. And as most of us, he's lost his former friends and associates when he came to see the grace of God. So we rejoice in having a fellow servant and brother to come and preach for us, Brother Vergara.
Thank you, my friend. I will turn on the button for him. There we go. There we are.
First of all, I thank the Lord for this privilege given me this afternoon, for the reason that I know that I am not fitted to this pulpit, because I just like to hear Pastor Donning preaches the Word of God for me. I like to be student under him. By way of the calling of the Lord, my part, I am standing in my pulpit in the Philippines for more than 30 years. But, you know, it's different when you stand for another's pulpit. And I thank the Lord for this church, for giving me this time to preach before you. And in my message, I hope I could able to give some things that what is happening in our country or in my ministry. I'd like you now to open your Bibles, please, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 1 to 7, I should say. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And this is what the Bible says. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Shall we then go to the Lord in prayer? Our loving God, our Father, I beseech the Lord this time that accompany me as I preach the word. I pray, Lord, that I may deliver the message out from your word, and that it will be a blessing to thy people. And I pray, Lord, that I may deliver also what has been going on in our country, so in my ministry, to challenge thy people here. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with us, guiding us, illumine what is in the message. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. The Apostle Paul was reminding the Corinthian believers that now they were saved by grace, established and anointed by the Holy Spirit of God through Jesus Christ. It would be wholesome for them now to go on further to the proclamation of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, which was once given unto them, as you will find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, it says, "Now he which established us with you is in Christ, and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." As we're going back to chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry was the Apostle Paul talking about? It is here in these verses that we have read the summary of the ministry the Lord presenting to us in this chapter, which are, number one, the first, the basis of the ministry, and the second is the character of the ministry. The third is the enemy and or adversary of the ministry. And number four, we have the theme or subject of the ministry. And number five, the vessel for the ministry." And so it is here written in the very word of God how the Lord God presented to us in a simple summary about the ministry. And let us discuss first of all the basis of the ministry. And as I read verse 1 again, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Mercy is the negative portion or part of grace. God sees us as sinful and depraved, not fitted for his kingdom, who we are doomed to his wrath, for no one is righteous to his sight. As you all know, and we read in Romans chapter 3, Verse 10, the Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none understandeth. No one seeketh after God. And also Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. But by God's love, entered into the world of sinners, and commended his love toward us, Christ was made to die for our place. As in the book of Romans, once again, chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says, as I read verse 8 and 9, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Love is the positive side of grace. That's why we go back to the verse 1, which says, as we receive mercy, love is the action of grace out of God's mercy. As you have received mercy, that is love, it is the action that God extended of his mercy toward of those who believe. And as we have received the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, we faint not. We faint not. In that we must keep on proclaiming, not for salvation, nor for sinless living, but for the furtherance of the gospel of the one who saves us from wrath. Brethren, this is what God calls us for the proclamation of the gospel we receive. That's why we faint not, or fail not. As the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, let us not be weary in well-doing. We must not wear out from proclaiming the gospel. We faint not because we are saved by grace. That is the basis of the ministry. The basis of the ministry is all by the grace of God. And let us proclaim what we have received. And the second, the character of the ministry, which is honesty and truth. As you read in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. This speaks of our doctrinal stand upon the Holy Scriptures. The Bible is the sola scriptura, the only authority of all holy convocations, and is not for sale. As we read again in 2 Timothy, as the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. What does Apostle Paul was telling to the young Timothy, those things that he suffered? The truth of God's word. The truth that he had received. Nevertheless, he said, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And also verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words, which hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is what the Bible is speaking about. Let us stand for the truth of God's word. Let us not shun of the things of the truth of God. And also reading again, as we continue reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, says, "The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Pelagius and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out of very diligently and found me." You know, brethren in Christ, even in the time of the Apostle Paul, there are people who are against the truth so much of our days. And I learned a lot from this book of what we stand for. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 3, I missed the, it said in verse chapter 3, verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Theostos, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I do believe that the Bible is the written word of God. All of it has no error. And I for one, let us make full fruit of the ministry God has given to us. That is, let us be true and honest to the teaching and preaching and practices of the Word of God. It is always to the manifestation of the truth that commend us to God, not by the religious inventions or innovations of man that supersedes the written word, but the written word supersedes the life of man. That's why even in the early church, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, we read in that portion that they continue, the early church. He said in chapter 2, verse 42, he says here that, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." What we are to continue for? The early believers, the apostles which the Lord Jesus Christ taught, they continue in them. Now, we are not better than the apostles. We are not better than those who have been indwelt first by the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, brethren, let us make full proof of the ministry that God has given to us. That is, standing firm to the truth of God's word. And he said, again, in these things, he said, watch in all things. Watch in all things. It is in the Bible that God's special revelation lives on and brings even now life. Brings even light and faithfulness. The whole Bible is given by inspiration of God. and is such the infallible rule of faith and practice for all mankind. Let the word of God speak, for the Bible is the plenary and verbally inspired word of God, and no other else. There are yet many said Bible literatures, and most especially in our country, they uphold most of their magazines rather than the word of God. And there's a group, a lot of groups in the Philippines, I know them, and they have held most of their writings rather than the word of God. The Bible declares, let us renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That is why the character of the ministry must be honesty and truth. The third is the enemy or adversary of the ministry. In verse 3 and 4 it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Take note the word in whom the God is mulgy of this world. The God of the unbelievers, which are man-made, and theories, which are not real. In our country alone, you'll find many gods. God made of stone, gods made of wood, gods made of precious stone, even man himself, who claimed to be the Son of God. Sad to say that. And some call that only the religion or group, man will be saved. In the region where I am ministering, the Calderieras, there are 12 male gods and 12 female gods. Each has his own season to be honored by them. And every child born, every marriages, or even in the death, in the funerals, they will call their gods. Sad to say that. There is also in the capital region, capital city of our country, there is, we call it the Black Nazarene. Even the politics or the politicians mingle with the masses just to pull the rope, just to touch the image. And there is some kind of magic that they are reflecting or they could experience. And that's why the Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Yes, the enemy is real. It's not a mystic. It is real. It is Satan who is the enemy of the ministry. Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, and is working night and day, and day out without rest. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15, the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 11 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It is now the time for us to be awakened from these false inventions, or even we say experiences that people say about or tell about, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Even First Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, what does our Bible says? And First Peter chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says here, or 2 Peter. The Bible says that Satan himself is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Chapter 5, 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist is steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you'll find that Satan is accomplishing his mission to our fellow relatives, our fellow countrymen, as the Bible says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Yes, if Satan is working its best through the unbelievers, through our friends, what are we doing now, my friend? We have received the Word of God as the very true Word of God, and by grace we are saved. We have a ministry to tell to the lost. As we go to our message number 4, the theme or object of the ministry. The theme or object of the ministry, which is Jesus Christ. We have a message, we have an object, a subject to tell about. And going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we preach Christ Jesus." That should be our theme. There is no other name that we must have to uphold, to preach, other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, as we go to John chapter 1, verse 7, came to bear witness of the light. For Jesus is the light of the world, the true light of men. To him, man might believe, because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. This world needs the true light. It is him alone, the Savior of mankind. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the light of Jesus that lighted of those that believe. It is the light of Jesus that openeth the understanding of those that are saved. It is the light of grace of Jesus that only man can be saved, in that He died for the ransom price of our sins, in that He died and rose again from the dead to the glory of the Father, went back to heaven to prepare a place for us that are saved. And all of our message by mouth and by life is for the glory of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head and the Savior of the church, the coming Messiah, the potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Let us uphold the name of Jesus Christ in our very mouth and our life. There is no other name given among men. Brethren, as we go to this summary of the message of Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth, he says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we have received that light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that shine in our hearts." Let us give that light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the theme or object of the ministry. And the last, number five, the vessel for the ministry. The vessel for the ministry are the true believers in Christ. As you'll find in verse 7, "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The Apostle Paul says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." What treasure? In what earthen vessel? I, for one, it is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. For He is the earnest promise of our inheritance. In Ephesians chapter 1, again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, we read, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." In this earthen vessel, which is our body, resides and dwelt the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest is a term of surety. It is a business term. God transacted a business with us, giving an earnest of our salvation. That is why we believe in eternal security. That's why we are saved by grace. We have it. We have the treasure in this earthen vessel. We are not worthy to be dwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's only by grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the promise we have in this earthen vessel, that when the Holy Spirit resides in one's life, the Holy Spirit directs, the Holy Spirit guides, comforts the believer's faith. It is not a man-made faith, but the faith of Him who resides in the believer, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 1, I would like to go back to verse 1. We fail not. Shall we pray? Our most loving, gracious Father, I have given the word. given the message, may your will be done. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen.